All right, we're going to go to John chapter 12 this morning. That's where we're going to start. I got a lot of scriptures this morning, and I didn't have much time to write out any notes, so we're going to halfway wing it. I trust the Lord to help you make sense of all this, so we're going to just going to go for it here. I kicked around different ideas for titles, and I had a few of them like peer pressure church or peer pressure in the church, stuff like that, but it didn't work out for what I wanted to do. And the main idea we want to talk about this morning is what this means to you in particular. It'll make more sense as we go on here. But when you think of serving the Lord, what do you think of? Do you think of coming to church? Do you think of reading your Bible? What do you think of? Well, there was a study done, go figure, because we do studies on everything, on what serving the Lord meant to many people. And they did it two ways. They asked around in the church, and they asked around in the community. And so they did separate percentages. And the point of this is not the percentages, it's the answers they received in both groups. In the church, they come up with more dedicated answers. You know, these are the people that went to church, and so reading their Bible and doing the work of the Lord, showing up for church, ended up on that list of what it means to serve the Lord. Whereas they asked the people that went to church, but they were out on the street on a normal day, they got regular answers like attending church or being involved in meetings, being involved in Sunday school class, just really basic answers. Nothing that really required a lot of dedication. So, what's the difference in those answers? The major difference in those answers is the ones in the church felt like it was their responsibility, or serving the Lord meant having a relationship with the Lord and reading your Bible and having a prayer life, and not just in the church, but in your home, doing the stuff that people actually expect you to do. Whereas people in the community, it was less of that. It was more like being active in your church, doing stuff, like physical stuff, being there, showing up for this, and being involved in this. And this shows the new idea of what serving the Lord is. You can listen to the radio, you can ask anybody on the street, you can ask most churchgoers, and you're going to get the same ones. I grew up in independent fundamental Baptist churches all my life. And if you weren't involved, then you weren't saved. It's pretty much how they portrayed it as. If you were there, serving meant being in the choir. Serving meant being on board with their youth program. Serving meant saying amen whenever the preacher said something funny. It's just the way it went. This new way of doing things is all, I don't want to say lip service, but it's like being seen there, being associated with this. Serving the Lord is no longer a verb. It's more like a noun, a person, place, or thing. We've turned it into a noun from a verb, or even an adjective, if most people know what that is here. We don't take the time to put it into action. It's something we say. It's something we look at. It's something we have an idea of. But it's never something we do. And this has changed with the new idea of instead of the local church, we have a social church. So that's my title, the social church. Write that down. I'll forget it. So what is this new social church? It's just like your local restaurant. It's somewhere you come in, you have coffee, you talk to a few guys, and you have a little meeting, and then you leave. But how many times do you come in, eat breakfast with those guys, and have a good old time, and remember it for the rest of your week? You don't. Generally, you do it once a week, and you just do it because that's what you do. I know a few people at my workplace, the managers, they go to a diner there before they come to work every Saturday morning. It's just what they do. But the only time you hear about it is on Friday night before they leave. They say, "You going to be there in the morning?" And that's all you hear about it. And the only way you'll know about it is if you're there when they're leaving on Friday night. It's the same way with churchgoers. If you are not there Saturday night and they say, you're going to be there in the morning? You don't know they go to church. The social church is there for people who want to be involved in something, because whether they like it or not, they need to be part of something. Humans feel the need to be a part of something. That is why the new church says, come join us. The word join puts in your mind that you're part of something big, because there's a lot of people there. But how many times in the Bible do you see people serving the Lord with a lot of people? How many times do you see people in the Bible gathered together to serve the Lord just on a rampage going forward for Him? In fact, many times in the Bible, you see people alone and discouraged because they think they're the only ones doing it. Like Elijah. There's always a feeling of being alone because you've done something for the Lord and you're looking and you're taking your eyes off Him just for a second, and it looks like you're the only one doing it. And what did the Lord do for him? He revealed that there were many more just like him doing the same stuff. Let's go ahead with our reading. And we're going to read one verse in here. John 12:26 says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. The service of the Lord, whenever Jesus spoke about the service of the Lord, he never spoke about it in a group setting. Whenever he referred to it, it was in an individual basis. He may have been speaking to a group of people, but he was focused on every one of them. It has to be individual service. So what's that mean for us? The church is a group of people. The church is the saved of the Lord's that have joined His family and are going to be a part of the body and bride of Christ. However, we are have to be individuals. We don't join a church to be part of the body of Christ. We don't do stuff for the church in order to be part of the bride of Christ. The only way we are part of the bride of Christ is if we individually devote ourselves to Christ. But this new social church has turned serving the Lord as something you do in a group. And I'll tell you how they do it. Is excitement. Is emotion. They take their music. They have their motivational speakers. They have their screens. They have the lights. I mean, they have it all. Why do they need all that? It's to pump somebody up for the service of God. I see a lot of videos, and I tend to share them with him, of a certain person, and he has videos with, not even with music anymore, there's captions of what he's saying, and they just pop up. I mean, as he's saying, they're one word at a time, just all over the screen or just in one spot, and then just, or they morph, you know, they've got all these visuals in there while he's talking, and he's always like this, and he's leaning over the pulpit, and he's pointing, and he's screaming, and he's working the mic as he goes to, I don't know if he's trying to keep their attention, or if he's just that sporadic. But he's always like that. But all he's saying is one phrase of three words or less, and another word after it. Like, Jesus did not die for you to be sad. Jesus did not die for you to be depressed. Jesus did not die so you could do this. And it's just over and over for an over 2-minute video. They're catchphrases. I remember that because it was three words and then one word after it. And I can pretty much replace it with whatever I want and still be a direct quote because it was in there somewhere. That's how they do it. And when you do that and you get louder and you get talk faster, people get more excited. People cannot sit through church without excitement. That's why there's so many jokes about people falling asleep in church pews or whenever they yawn or anything like that. There was a preacher that I was under for a pretty good amount of time where he would yell and scream and stomp his foot and jump and slam the Bible and be saying absolutely nothing. But he would tell you later that if he didn't, everyone would fall asleep. That's all he did it for. It was just to look good. It was just to keep people excited and amening. Because when you're yelling, people feel like they should say amen. Because you're passionate about what you're saying. And they are too in those churches. They may not be saying anything at all. Or a little bit of truth and a whole lot of lie. But it gets people excited. It makes people feel like that you're passionate about something and they can follow that. These social churches are not about following God. They're about following the man screaming whatever he's screaming behind the pulpit. People will get behind that because they want to be a part of something big. People need something to look up to. People need a cause to move forward with. And we've turned this into the new church. Why has it come to this? Because whether you like it or not, what was said in Matthew is still true today, and people are trying to do it. It says in 6:24 of Matthew, "No man can serve two masters, and either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. We cannot serve God and mammon." Whether people want to admit it or not, they feel better about themselves if they are serving the Lord. Or if they think they are. But what will outweigh how good they feel when they serve the Lord is being able to live the life serving mammon. Or serving self. These churches provide the bridge to do both. These churches provide the get out of hell free card that comes with living the life you want to live. You can do what you want throughout the week and still go to church and praise Him and worship Him together with a group of people, with a man that you know is serving God. And because you go and you approve and you can do it, you're good. But this just proves this verse is true. When they leave that church and when they're talking about this church, because it usually, seeps over into Monday, what do they say? Do they say that God met with us yesterday? Do they say we had a good time in Christ yesterday? Or they say, man, my church is just so good. The preacher is not judgmental at all. The songs we sing are not those old things we used to sing. They mean something to me. My church does this. My church does that. My church will welcome you. My church, there you go. There's any time you talk to somebody, and about 3 weeks ago, roundabouts, there was a person there at Baldwin, and he was talking about his church, and someone was going to come to his church, one of the other people there, and he was talking to them about his church. He said, okay, well, what time do they start? And he said, oh, we start about this time. He said, oh, well, I guess I better break my dress clothes out. And to which the man responded, what? No, we're pretty casual around there. He said, I'll probably be wearing my shorts and a polo because I'm part of the worship team this week. And he said, but my preacher, man, he usually wears blue jeans and a t-shirt. Man, we don't really judge nobody around there. He has a good message usually, but we don't, it's just casual. And he just kept going on about how great it was because they were just casual, didn't judge. Just come as you are. We accept you. That's why they go to that church. They don't go to that church to worship God. They don't go to that church to find something in the Word of God that they had not been able to find themselves. They did not go to church to learn something or to worship. They went to church to make themselves feel better so they could say they went to church. You might as well go to Walmart or a movie theater. Because they're just casual there. But these churches, this idea of the social church, is just trying to hold hands with God and mammon. And it's not the God that they think they're serving. This service to Christ cannot be selfish, cannot be conditioned. It cannot be either or if this happens. You can't have a Gideon's fleece mentality in service to the Lord. We see a lot of examples of people saying, well, if it's meant to be, God will do this. If I need to do this, then God will do this, because I've asked Him to. Who here remembers the story of Gideon's fleece, where he put the fleece out? Okay. And he said, well, okay, if you want me to do this, then the fleece will be dry and the ground will be wet with dew. And he went out and said, okay. Well, if you really want me to do this, then the fleece will be wet and the whole ground will be dry. And then he came out and said, okay, well played. And he ended up going ahead. We should not be that petty. That's all it is pettiness. If the Lord wants you to do something, you will know it. The Lord does not have to give signs and wonders to tell you whether you should take a job or go here or come to church. It's just not the way it should be. This true service to the Lord requires personal dedication. We all know this verse, but I'm going to read it anyway. It's in Joshua 24. It's 14 and 15. It says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you, to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's kind of a long speech. But you get what he's saying. He said, all these other gods are in the land in which you dwell. Everyone else serves them and has a good old time. Everyone else can go serve and say they've served God today, or they've worshipped with God today. And they can do whatever they want. They can put, back, it was earrings and piercings and everything else they wanted to back then that the Lord said was unholy. And they could do anything they wanted and still serve a god. Still have favor with a God. I'm here to tell you that this devotion is not to gain favor with God, but in order to be with God and know more about God because you want to, because you love Him. Whenever I am home and Elizabeth is there, I spend time with her, but not because I have to, not because I want to gain favor with her, even, that's nice, but it's because I love her, and I want to be with her, and I want to know more about her. It's the same way with God. You don't dwell with Him and learn more about Him and read His Word and want to serve Him more because you want to gain favor so you can stay going to heaven. It's because you want to know Him now. Because eternal life doesn't start when you die. It starts now. It's your spiritual life, which is the only true life we have. We have to take care of ourselves physically. I'm not saying just dump yourself off and forget about it. You have to take care of yourself physically. But if you are right in your spiritual life, your physical life will be a whole lot easier. There'll still be trials and tribulations, but you'll be able to deal with it. The way they deal with it now in this church is that they go to church and they dump off their troubles and they cry about it for a little while, then they come back to work and realize that it hasn't really fixed anything. So they go back and cry about it again. That's why they go back every week. Because they need to be reminded that God is still good and God will help you because you have to, that's the way it is. It's just the way it's going to be. There's another fairly radical side of a certain religion coming out where it's like name it and claim it all the way on the other side. Because you tell God what He's going to do, but in doing that you're releasing Him to do it, and so He has to do it. Speaking it into existence. Well, I told Elizabeth, she was telling me a little bit about it the other day, and I did some studying on it. So I said, I got an idea, I'm hungry. I said, there'll be a cheeseburger on my desk in 5 minutes. And I spent all day waiting for that cheeseburger. Does that mean God has failed me? In some people's minds, it does. Because that is the way that we've raised this culture in religion. That God's some genie in a bottle where you rub it and get more than three wishes because He gives you whatever your heart desires. But we've forgotten to line out what our heart's desires should be. We've forgotten to line out that our heart should line up with God's heart. That we should be after God's heart as David was. Samuel, 1 Samuel 12:20 says, "And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart." Service to the Lord is not lip service. You can declare all you want. And most people do. But if your heart is not truly right with Him and you're not working on yourself inside on making sure that you're in line with the Bible, that truly God can work with you, then you're not doing what you need to be doing. The service of the Lord I'm talking about is not lip service, but heart service. It's not worshiping because you come in the church building. It's not remembering God's blessings because you run into the preacher in the grocery store that day. It's because it's just the way you think. I can't even explain it. It's just the way your mind operates. It's just the way you perceive things. In class last week, I learned about perception and filtering. And I had to define perception in my own way. And it really did kind of open my eyes to how perception really is. Perception is how you take things that are said. It's how you decide whether to take it at face value or look farther into it to see if it is what it truly looks to be before taking offense or ingesting it. It's like picking up that grape and looking to make sure there's no dirt on it first. And y'all get grapes from Walmart, you better be doing it. If you eat a grape unwashed at my house, I get ringed out for it. So it's just like that. It's like either just picking it up and popping it in your mouth because, hey, it looks good to eat, and you just eat it. Or if you look at it first to see if it truly is what it appears to be. Could have been wax fruit. Could have been one of those little grapes at Hobby Lobby that fall off in the ground. Dorothy tries to eat them all the time because they look good. She hasn't learned to examine it, to try it, to look at it, to give it a good hard look, to run it by. But what do we run it by? We run it by what we know. We perceive it filtered through what we put up as filters in our mind. Or what no filters have been put up in our mind. We say this a lot about people, that person just has no filter. Usually that's a bad thing when we say that. Sometimes it's a funny thing. But you have to learn, and that's what this book does right here, is it puts up those filters which you run things through your mind and heart. So when you hear something like, God will give you every one of your heart's desires, it runs through the filter of how the heart is deceiving and how God's, you know, it runs through all that. The scriptures about the heart that refine that statement down to, that's not right. Anything you hear goes through those filters. That's why it's so crucial as a young Christian to get these filters in you before you ingest everyone's doctrine. There's so many doctrines out there that without these filters, no one would know what to do. But no one wants to take the time. They want to listen and take filters from them instead of taking filters from the Word of God. The only way to serve the Lord is to serve Him individually and in your own heart and life. The only way this is going to work for us as young people is to find out what serving the Lord truly is. Is to find out what the Scriptures truly say about every issue of life. Because that will set up in your mind the core filtering you need to follow Christ correctly and not be led astray by every wind of doctrine. That's a lot of people's problem, is they don't want to take the time. It's like when, you know, when you're refinishing a house or whatever, and you go in there and you realize they didn't really take the time to do what they needed to do to make sure that the house would stay standing longer than 100 years. I've run into that a lot. It's just a quick throw-up job just so they can say they did it. When you just read your Bible in the morning so you can say you did it, you haven't really picked up anything. All you've picked up is a sticker on your shard. And that's not really going to work. In your own life, put up the filters of the Word of God in your heart. And how do you do that? By putting the Word of God in your heart. Writing it on the table of your heart. So that everything that goes in has to go past that table first. In airports, for security, what's the first thing they put at the door? Metal detectors, x-rays. They check everything before you get on to make sure that it is safe and in line with what they say can go on that airplane. Same thing with court buildings. They run you through them. They make you take off your belt, make you take off your shoes. Almost have to take off your tie anymore because you might be hiding a needle in there or something. They just do everything. And now they won't even let you in unless you have a real ID starting in October. They're just ramping up security in those buildings because of the risk that's grown. How much more should we ramp up security in our own hearts and minds because the number of false doctrines and insecurity we have now filtering in through the radio, through the TV, through your cell phone, through Facebook, everything is, the majority, I'm going to say this, 99% of what you see during the week and hear is wrong. It is just wrong. Everything I read on there goes through those filters, and it's just like they bombard it. And what happens to a filter when so much junk goes through it? It gets dirty. You must monitor how much you're putting in bad and just cut it off and put in the good. Pure water will not dilute a filter. That's something to think about. But dirty water can go through it and the purities can come through, but the filter remains dirty and it plugs up and you have to rinse it. And it's a long, anytime you rinse a filter, it's a long process. But during that process, do you happen to keep dumping junk water through it while you're cleaning it? Then why would you continually ingest and read and hear junk from the world while trying to cleanse yourself for church? You know, I keep saying I turn on the radio sometimes just to hear what they have to say. But I do it a whole lot less now than I ever have. Because it really just bogs your mind down trying to, you know, because you hear this and you're like, well, that's wrong because of this, this, and this. And your mind's not focused. Your mind's focusing on everything that's wrong with their argument instead of everything that's right about the Word of God. And refining what you need to be refining in your own heart. It's good to know what's out there because when people come at you, like, what in the world? But you shouldn't forever be running it through your mind and through your heart just to see how wrong people are. Yeah. Self-righteousness pollutes a filter just as well as junk water. Yeah. Serve the Lord yourself in your own life. Devote to Him in your own heart. And know who God is so that when those other gods come at you, you know who He really is. When those other words come at you, you know what His words are. When those other doctrines come at you, you know what His word really says. Serve the Lord with gladness. Know who He is and devote to Him in your own heart. That's the only way the church can be a body, because everyone is one in the spirit and words of Christ. So the church does not make you a good Christian. God makes you a good Christian. And if we all individually get that and put it into practice in our own lives, we can have a good church. If we don't, and we continue on the way we go, we're not going to have a church. Know who God is and serve Him in your own life.